Today on Radio Chatter, it's the legendary frontman from the band Rat, talking about Stephen Piercy. He's got a new record coming out January 27th. It's called Smash. Of course, there's been battles in the past as far as the Rat name is concerned, and different guys in the band, and, you know, just all sorts of stuff surrounding Rat. Well, we'll touch on that a little bit in this interview and talk about his solo stuff, talk about drag racing, talk about Monsters of Rock, and much, much more today on Radio Chatter.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
As always, thanks so much for checking out Radio Chatter for another edition right here on WRIF.com and, of course, worldwide on the interweb, wherever you may be. Thank you guys so much for checking it out. Yeah, today we're going to talk with Stephen Piercy from Rat. A real quick shout out to my friend Michelle Parisi, who got me hooked up with this interview. I'll tell you what, I start off the conversation by talking with Stephen about his massive interview schedule. And it's like he had half-hour slots all lined up. I mean, through yesterday, through today, for like hours at a time. I just couldn't imagine sitting there talking about myself or my projects for, I think, what might be about 8 or 10 hours. Anyways, that's what he's doing because he's got to get the word out there about the new record, which is called Smash, and it hits store shelves on January 27th or the iTunes or whatever. But I called him up. It was 12:30 my time here in the Eastern time zone, 9:30 his time, and it takes a little while for Stephen to get warmed up in this interview. And sometimes when I talk to some of these guys, like, I'll give you an example. Last year I was talking to Rob Zombie, and he has a new record coming out and all this stuff. And you like to talk about the new record, of course. You know, the artists work and slave in these, you know, studios for months on end to put out some new material. And sometimes it seems like last year when I was talking to Rob Zombie, that we talked about the new record, did that whole thing. And then I brought up, like, Beavis and Butthead and the start of White Zombie. And he really just took off with it. Well, the same kind of thing happened here. I tried talking to Stephen about the new record, about drag racing, different things. And next thing you know, like I said, a little ways into the interview, also he starts talking about the beginning of Rat. And it was really cool how it all started. He told us how he first discovered music while laid up in a hospital. We'll get to that here coming up as well. In the meantime, I was given his phone number, told him to call at 12:30 my time, 9:30 his time. And here's how the conversation went. Yeah, I'm looking for Stephen.
This is he.
Hey, man, it's Meltdown from WRIF in Detroit. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I see you got this this massive interview schedule going. How's that going for you?
Oh, excuse me?
I see you have a massive interview schedule going. How are things going as far as that's concerned?
I just got up. Everybody wants to keep hanging out and talking for hours, which is cool if I was at a bar and not sober.
Well, we won't keep you that long. Just wanted to touch base with you here. First of all, good to hear your voice. Got the new record coming out, Smash, on January 27th, your fourth solo album. I was thinking about this. Your last solo album came out, what, in 07, 08, something like that? You're on, like, the Metallica record cycle, huh?
Well, you know, with anything, even the Rat records, you know, the last one took 10 years. We're going to actually try to start recording one in the end of this year, 2017, and that would be 6 years,
right?
I guess. So it just depends now, but, you know, with my solo stuff, and even in Rat with me involved, you know, I like to have that kind of a, what the hell? I guess I'm way behind on interviews if this one's in Europe. You know, shit. Oh, well. What time was your interview due?
My interview was at 9:30.
Oh, okay, it's 9:30.
Yeah, so it's 12:30 where I am here in Detroit, in the icy cold Detroit.
Oh, right on. Love it. Detroit, baby.
Yeah, you've been here several times. It's been a while since I've seen you and the guys from Rat here in Detroit. Maybe in 2017 on this Back for More tour.
Oh, I gotcha. Hang on a second. I got to get rid of this guy. He'll be persistent on call.
Sure.
asking. Could you imagine back in the day if this was happening? I'd be like, hey, fuck up. I'll call you back. The other phone. It'd be some rotary phone. Button phone.
You know, it's funny, too. Back in the day, you would do like a photo shoot or interview with the magazine or something. It would come out like 3 weeks or a month later, right?
Excuse me?
Back in the day when you would do like an interview with like Hit Parade or Rip or something like that, you would have to wait like a month for it to come out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nowadays, it's like as soon as you do it, it's out there for everybody to hear.
You know, it's... And that's what I liked about what I grew up with. You know, I think a lot of us did back in the day. You know, this fuck is persistent. The fact that, you know, you had to look at a magazine, you had to read it, and that's the only way you got your info, you know?
Yeah, you like it better back then, huh?
Yeah, man, it was more to, there's more to think about. You can use your imagination, you know?
Yeah.
You can think about anything, like, oh, well, what are they doing in that plane? Or what's going on over there at that place called the Rainbow? Well, we know what ended up going, what happened there. But, you know, back then it was like, oh, shit, there's Jimmy Page. Oh, there's fucking Alice Cooper, you know?
Yeah, I was, you know, I grew up in all those magazines. I used to save them all the time. As a matter of fact, when I was when I started to think about talking to you, I remember the first time I heard Rat, it was the video for Round and Round, which I'm sure I'm not alone in that sentiment. And I saw it on MTV, and it kind of, in a certain way, changed my life a little bit.
I'm telling you, you know, it was a different thing back then. God forbid there was cameras and cell phones back in the early 80s. You'd all be a bit. Take her to the cleaners in jail, fucking sued, different suit lawsuits, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's weird nowadays. It's got to be strange to go up on stage sometimes, see a sea of cameras and phones and everything.
I just picture that as another head in the audience, you know, with eyeballs.
I think when
I'm actually playing in front of... if there's 10,000 there, I'm actually playing in front of 2,000 if they all put up their phones.
I think I remember as a kid trying to sneak in disposable cameras. You know, you try to sneak them in just to get some pictures from, like, you know, 100 yards away.
Right.
Yeah.
And they take them and freaking, they say they get rid of them. They never did. They got all that. Somebody collected all that shit. And if they were smart, it was... You know, like Zeppelin, per se, they probably collected all of that shit. And,
yeah.
You know, they were way on top of the game. They kind of steered and changed the way everything is, actually.
Yeah, and then you got guys like Axl that would jump in the crowd over one guy with a camera.
Oh, that's just Axl, man. Come on. He's cool, man.
Yeah, Axl, there's no doubt. Hey, when you were writing this new record, Smash, how far along in the process were you when you kind of, you know, reunited with some of the Rat guys? I mean, could there have been a time where you could have stopped writing this solo record and maybe used some of this stuff for Rat, or what?
Oh, yes. We could have, yes, definitely. I mean, Eric is, you know, of course, he's my solo band. You know, he's got to play these Rat songs, you know, every night besides what we play. And so, you know, inevitably it's going to, you know, come out of him somehow, you know.
Mm.
I'm getting a little lost. I'm still waking up, man.
Have a late night last night?
No, believe it. Yeah, I did, but it's not doing what people might think, or even things I want to do. But it was. Wait a second. What was I going to say here? Oh yeah, usually I'm up at 5 o'clock, dude. This ain't nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you get up so early?
I'm a freak.
Back in the day, you probably didn't go to bed till 5 o'clock.
I know, and I woke up at 6, go figure. Go to bed at 5 a.m. and wake up at 6 a.m. ready to go.
So getting back to the rat thing, so you guys got this tour coming up, the Back for More tour. It starts up on February 11th in Minnesota. Then you do some solo dates. How excited are you to get back up on stage with Rat?
It's like riding a bike, man, except we have a brand new back tire, you know?
Yeah.
We'll have a new one. You know, the tire that kept inflating and making you crash.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
The only analogy I could think of without mentioning the name.
Right. Yeah, I think everyone knows. So you guys are reunited on the, correct me if I'm wrong, on the Monsters of Rock cruise?
The last one, yeah, that's when we got together. We tried not to use it. No name. We didn't just wanted to go out there.
Right. Yeah, you know, Harlan.
We didn't want to be called anything, actually.
Oh, you're just going to go out there and just jam Rat songs or whatever came to your mind, Led Zeppelin, whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Harlan Henriksen, he emanates this show from our station here.
He what? Say again?
You know, Harlan from Monsters of Rock, that show emanates from WRIF right here.
Oh.
Do you know Harlan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where he does his show from right here.
Oh, wow.
So I texted him earlier, but he must be on your schedule because he's probably still sleeping. I said, hey, tell me about that, you know, when the guys reunited. So that must have been cool, though. You've probably answered this question a billion times, but just indulge the people of Detroit.
Say what again?
I said you probably answered the question about jamming again and playing on stage at Monsters of Rock, but just indulge the people of Detroit. Tell us about your feelings about getting up on stage again that night.
The Monsters of Rock? Oh, it was actually very cool. I mean, you know, the weirdest thing is you get us together and we just kind of like, oh, hey, there you are. It's not like, oh, fuck, I'm nervous, you know. It's like, we're like, fuck, yeah, you ready to go out there and bash in some heads? You know, it's just a silence, you know. Me, I'm all amped up just going, all right, where do I go? Where do I go? You know, put on the goggles and ready to go. Yeah. Oh my God! Somebody from some 15 number village is just persistent. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 numbers. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, so you're on this interview. Yeah. You're on this interview schedule. What kind of questions come up constantly with these interviews?
What's going on with the Rat? No, yeah. they actually talk about is the diversity of the Smash, which is great. How it's different, and you know, how did the writing come about? What's this song? So that's good to hear, you know. Actually, I did Guitar Magazine yesterday, and they were asking about different things, too, which was kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, well, this record was produced by Bo Hill, and it's like he did a lot of the early Rat stuff. And as soon as I heard some of the tracks, I'm like, it sounds, I mean, this is Rat, obviously, with your voice on it. But even the guitars and stuff and just the overall vibe of it sounded very Rat-like.
Yeah, you know, I used the I Can't Take It. It's the single he produced, mix and mastered, and pretty much went with that as a schematic, you know, and where I should be going in quality. Unfortunately, he couldn't do the whole record, but it was definitely a good thing, you know.
Yeah, one of my friends was in a pretty popular band. He's a guitar player, and he'll remain nameless. But he said to me one time, he goes, yeah, I could leave, the bass player could leave, the drummer could leave. But once the singer leaves, it changed the whole dichotomy of the band. So it's like with you, obviously, stuff you're going to be in already sounds kind of like Rat as it is, right?
Kind of, but, you know, I would say the closest song to Rat on Smash is 10 Miles Wide, and you know, Eric, my lead guitar player, the co-writer on that song, he even said, I felt like I was channeled by Robin.
Hmm.
I was like, yeah, I think you were, man, because it sounds pretty stealth, you know. But everything else, we went outside. I mean, you kind of just adapt to each other, you know what I mean? It's like if you got one, you know, one angry dog. If you're running in a pack, you know, you got one angry dog always killing the chickens, you know, the other ones. The other ones are going to go, I think chickens taste good, yeah.
Man, yeah, Robin, I was looking through some of your pictures there and your pictures on your website there, and man, Robin, he was a great guitar player, man.
Yeah, well, Robin, he had a different and also another role in the band. He was because he was pretty much started it with me, and then Warren was brought in. It's my creation, but Robin was first in. He was pretty much our director, somebody we had to, you know, there was a final word said, it would be by him, you know. He was a peacekeeper and he was an ass kicker. A very loving person, you know.
Yeah. Also, when I found out I was going to talk to you, I was thinking drag racing, man. I mean, it's like I'm a big drag racing fan as well. Have you been out to the drag races anytime recently?
Yeah, I was there for the world final recently. And actually, you know, looking at cars with deals, I mean, I still want to try to get something going sometime this year, co-sponsoring, cross-marketing, because that's what I do with the race cars, and just have fun, you know.
Now, have you ever driven one of those?
No, and I don't think I'm going to.
You would
a
think
whole other ball game now.
Yeah, you would think that somebody who's into it as much as you are, you would have wanted to drive them somewhere in the past or whatever. I used to drag race cars, you know, as a kid growing up at the local drag strip or something. Nothing like Top Fuel, obviously, but man, that's a different world, huh?
Well, actually, I wanted to be one of the youngest guys to drive in 70. What was it, 73 or 4 or something? And, you know, then I got into an accident, but I was geared up. I was a pick cool guy, traveling, working every weekend with a team. And with Walter Rhodes specifically, and it was an every weekend thing, going to a track and racing. And then we went to Indianapolis, Indy 500 out there in 71. And on my way back, my family had moved, so all of a sudden I was living in San Diego, and I was like, okay, there ain't no race cars around here. There's a drag track that was at least good, but I bounced back and forth. Then I got in a wreck, and they said, nope, you can't be driving race cars. Good luck, boy. And that was it.
And when did you discover music?
Well, when I was laid up in the hospital, somebody gave me a guitar, and I just went, okay, what's this for? And then, you know, I listened to music, but I wasn't really a fanatical, you know, Zep listener or Sabbath or Bloister Cult or, you know, I didn't know what the hell was going on. My sister would tell me, hey, I'm going to see David Bowie, and I didn't know who David Bowie was. You know, it's like Alice Cooper. I was like, who's she?
So who gave you the guitar? Do you remember?
No, I do not. And they do, and they ain't saying shit. So it's probably good.
Really?
Yeah, I gave me a piece of guitar in the hospital. I picked it up and started playing it right away. Started writing my own songs immediately. It was the weirdest thing, you know. Matter of fact, a lot of the Rat EP and even some of the songs off Cellar and after that, you know, In Your Direction and stuff, those are songs I wrote in like 1978.
Really?
Yeah. You know, You Got It, Tell the World. What else is on that record? Sweet Cheater, all of those go back to 1978. Yeah, 78, 79.
And so you had all these songs all written and stuff, and then when Rat starts or whatever, you just showed the guy, say, check this one out, or how does it work?
Well, it was my band, Rat. I started Rat.
Right.
It's still here. What songs are you going to play? Well, you're going to play Mickey Rat songs first. I'm changing the name, and, you know, and the this is around... I think I changed Mickey Rat to Rat. I know I did in like 1981. I started using Rat, and these guys, the original band, didn't come into play until like early 83, if I'm correct. I can't say late 82.
Yeah, well, 83 was around and round, wasn't it? I mean, wasn't that when the first...
No, 83 was our EP.
Yeah.
Round and Out of the Cellar was March 1984.
And so you go from San Diego, did you move up to Los Angeles, and that's how you formed Rat?
No, I moved... Yes, Rat was formed in San Diego. I mean, in Los Angeles, correct. I moved my band up to... Well, first I started seeing Van Halen in 78 in the clubs here in L.A., and then I went, oh, this is what's happening. And I was already playing cool gigs in San Diego, and I just went, I'm moving January 1, 1980, and who's coming with me, you know?
And so did they all come?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they split on me. And then I had players coming and going, and it turned into Rat, and I had players coming and going, and then eventually we settled on the, Robin was the first one in, and then Warren, and then the other two later, and then it was, officially 1983 Rat as we knew it.
Yeah, that band took off pretty quick with the time and stuff. Twisted Sister was around. Motley was just starting. All this stuff was just starting to percolate in Los Angeles. It must have been a pretty exciting time.
Yeah, it was. The whole scene was crazy because it was fresh. You know, it was a new thing. You know, you had your Iron Maidens, and thank God for Van Halen shaking it up in California. And... And then you had, you know, Priest, Maidens, and all the English Attack over here. The English Assault.
Yeah, and you guys got on some pretty big tours back in the 80s. I remember seeing you open up for a bunch of bands throughout the entire 80s.
Yeah, we played with some good bands. We played with Maiden, Motley. Early on, there was a lot more diversity in shows, you know. And then, you know, you start your own arena tour, then you pick your band. So we pick, you know, anybody from Queensryche, Bon Jovi, Poison, Kix, Mama's Boys, you know, whoever. And we were opening up for, you know, anybody from, we did the full Ozzy tour. You open up for, we opened up for shit, everybody. I mean, Monsters of Rock, Monta Day on the Green, you do a bunch of festivals, Iron Maiden, Motley. Yeah, it was fun back then. There's a lot more different shows going on.
Yeah, you're talking about the festivals, and I saw some of those festivals like that. But nowadays, it seems like festivals have really started to ramp up here in the United States. There's like 10 of them I can think of off the top of my head. And I think, are you guys playing Rocklahoma? I'm not sure if you guys are or not.
I don't know. We've been offered a lot of shows recently. But we know we're doing... this one called Rock something, but we're doing, it's possible, Rocklahoma, you said?
Yeah, I thought I might have saw you guys on there, but maybe not, but I'm just saying, like, there's just a lot of festivals that have ramped up, you know, and it's like, it's pretty cool to go to these shows and see 30 or 40 bands now.
Yeah, they would be on my site, actually, because I know we're doing M3, and then we're doing this Rock and Something Festival in Rocklahoma. Yeah, I believe you're right. I think we are doing that. Is that in Kadot?
I think, I'm not exactly sure. I thought that was down south somewhere in Texas. I'm not sure where Kadot is, so...
I don't know.
Or I guess Oklahoma would be, yeah, the Rocklahoma, but... Yeah. Hey, listen, man, I got a few more minutes here before we cut you loose, and we'll send you off to your next interview. But as far you got Smash Out, that comes out on January 27th, your fourth solo album. As far as New Rat is concerned, what's the timetable looking like for that?
Oh, I'd like to get Ford and I have started the demo, waiting on some of Juan's stuff, and just take it easy, you know, take our time doing it like Smash, and use the same ethic, so to speak, patience, and we're hoping to get on it late in the year, late 2017.
And tell everybody about this thing here. One final thing here with you, Stephen. You're Mike Knuckles. What's this all about? When did you develop this?
That was a couple of years ago. You know, I needed something from a mic holder, and I just, through a friend of mine, Dozer, Jason Dozer, designed mic stands and things for people. And I go, you know, I have this idea for something. It's actually different than just, you know, a pair of, you know, mic knuckles or whatever that some people have used before or one-off. And I go, no, I'm going to design something, a series of mics, handheld microphone holders, because nobody's making anything for the singers, right? And so I designed these mic knuckles. He made them. And you can get them with spikes, and they're heavy duty. They're not plastic by any means. And you can get them any color. You can get them without spikes. And there's a Talon model. They're on my website if you want to look at them, steven-piercy.com. And they're just a good tool to have, whether you want to use them to be brutal singing or you want to use them as a defense mechanism. They're still going to do somebody harm with the spikes or no spikes.
Now, are other bands using these?
What's funny is there's Priya from Diamond uses them. There's a couple girls that have them that go out there and use them. I've given them everybody from D. Slider to Lita to Halford to Vince to. Everybody has them, so it depends on who wants to use them.
That's cool. Have you seen Vince on the Celebrity Apprentice?
No, I haven't seen that. I don't watch that kind of TV. I watch Celestial TV where I can look about, see what the underworld is doing. I don't know what the above ground world's doing.
Well, listen, man, looking forward to hearing some new Rat. Like I said, Smash is out on January 27th. And you got to make a stop here in the Motor City in Detroit with Rat and maybe your solo project or maybe both.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, we'll be out soon enough.
All right, Stephen. Thanks, man. Have fun with all the rest of your interviews.
I appreciate it.
See you later.
Thank you.
There he is, Stephen Piercy from Rat, who turned 61 this coming July. I didn't think he was that old. A lot of these rock stars are in their mid-50s, maybe late 50s. Some of them are in their 60s, I suppose. Mick Mars, I think, is up there in age as well. But yeah, Stephen Piercy, that was different, for sure. A little bit early out there on the West Coast for Stephen. Anyways, thank you guys so much for checking out Radio Chatter. I'll tell you what, I got this interview that I cannot wait to share with you guys, but I was told by the record company that I can't air it until mid-February. I can't tell you why, who it's with, or the reasoning for why I can't share it yet, but it's going to be pretty cool, and that's coming up here in, like I said, mid-February. So keep checking back to Radio Chatter. Thank you guys so much for listening. Of course, share it. Hit me up on the Twitter machine at Meltdown WRIF at Facebook, the whole thing. And thanks again for listening.